So what happens with cats or dogs or even us is if we have lots of stress, if we have, you know, if we're overweight, if we have lifestyle issues, if we are exposed to all kinds of different insults from toxins, you name it, our endocannabinoid system and our cats, for this matter, will become deficient or not function as properly as it should. So what we can do is we can take a plant extract or a botanical extract like CBD, and when they ingest it, it engages that system and kind of reminds that system, hey, we need to balance some stuff out because stuff is out of whack here.
Welcome to the Pet Care Report podcast by Pet Summits. Here's your natural cat healthcare host, Dr. Megan Barrett.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Pet Care Report. I'm here with our special guest today, Sean Zier, and we're going to be talking about CBD and other helpful supplements for cats. So Sean is the co-founder of Earth Buddy, which is inspired by the remarkable improvement in his 13-year-old collie mix, Kiva's health, from hemp and whole food-based supplements. Kiva's transformation, which included medicinal mushrooms and full-spectrum CBD, led to Earth Buddy's inception in 2016. The company, born from a desire to offer quality natural pet supplements, collaborates with PhD scientists and regenerative farms to create leading-edge cannabinoid products. So welcome, Sean, and super excited to chat today.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Barrett. Thanks for having me.
For sure. So I can't wait to hear about everything that you've learned through owning this company and creating these products. So let's talk about one of the big products that you sell and create, which is CBD, and how it's used in cats.
Yeah. So cats are very different than dogs. And I think sometimes when we look at pet supplements as a whole, we kind of just broad stroke both species. And unfortunately, cats get the short end of the stick on that. So cats are very tricky. You know, first and foremost, I think they're much more pickier. And at the same time, even if we try to make things more palatable for them, it's still a 50-50 shot whether a cat is going to like it or not. So in formulating products for cats, our philosophy on that was really, let's just make it as simple as possible. So in terms of when we look at all of our supplements, one, we want to keep it very clear on what's in it. And then also creating really simple ways to incorporate it into their food. Cats, you know, are pretty smart when it comes to their nose. And if they smell something off, they might not even touch it. And so there's a little bit of anxiety or stress that comes with giving cats supplements. So we want to make that as easy as possible. So that's kind of a starting point whenever I talk to cat owners about introducing a supplement, not just hemp, but also, you know, anything under the sun that is added to their food.
Definitely. So explain to us what CBD is and some of the benefits of using it as a supplement for your cat.
Yeah. So you'll have to keep me on track because I want to always start at the beginning. So when I started this company, the reality was is not many people knew what these molecules were coming from. So cannabis produces all these different molecules. And basically, everybody knew cannabis as the plant that produces THC, the high causing compound. And they forgot about this really unique and beneficial compound called cannabidiol. And that's the full name of the molecule. And when it's produced in the plant, it's produced as a acidic form or natural form called CBDA. And then what companies do, like Earth Buddy, is we pull that out of the plant, or what's called extraction, and we pull that out of the plant in a safe way, and then we heat it up, and that activates the cannabidiolic acid to CBD, which is cannabidiol. CBD is the non-high causing molecule, or we say non-intoxicating, And what it's been shown to do is it engages the natural cannabinoid system that all mammals have. Mainly the main purpose people come to CBD, especially for cats and dogs, is primarily stress or anxiety. And, you know, secondary to that, or 1A to that, would be pain or discomfort is typical reasons people come to this molecule. What we do know is that there's a lot of good research on cats and dogs specifically. And in cats, I can talk about some of the research that is recent on what they're seeing just in terms of how these molecules interact with the cat's system and what the cat system and how it differs from, you know, dogs and even us.
Yeah, that's a great overview. And I know that in dogs, we use CBD for seizures. Do you know if there's any info for that in cats?
Definitely. And, you know, the first place I want to start with that is the latest research that we've reviewed and CSU here in Fort Collins, because we're in Colorado, they are doing some phenomenal research on dogs and cats. And one of the latest research studies was on tolerability of cannabinoids, and specifically CBD with cats. And what they found is even at extremely high doses, I think it was something like 80 milligrams in a single dose, cats were tolerating it overall really well. There was no severe adverse events. Now, granted, this is a purified form. This isn't like a natural plant extract. And even then, some of the you know, things they viewed in these studies were that they foam or they salivate, but cats typically do that when you put something in their mouth that they don't want. And that's common with all drugs, I'm sure, you know, as a vet. But yeah, the general idea with cats is that they have an abundance of cannabinoid receptors. So we all have this system called a endocannabinoid system. And the way I describe it is it's like a conductor of an orchestra. And so it's not playing a specific instrument, but it's keeping the flow and the harmony of all those different functions in the body. And it's a chemical balancing system. So what happens with cats or dogs or even us is if we have lots of stress, if we have, you know, if we're overweight, if we have lifestyle issues, if we are exposed to all kinds of different insults from toxins, you name it, our endocannabinoid system and our cats, for this matter, will become deficient or not function as properly as it should. So what we can do is we can take a plant extract or a botanical extract like CBD, and when they ingest it, it engages that system and kind of reminds that system, hey, we need to balance some stuff out because stuff is out of whack here. And what we're finding with cats and what I've seen in the research is that there's an abundance of these receptors in the body, specifically in the gut. And I have a theory about that, and I'm curious to know what you think. I think one of the reasons why we see an abundance of these receptors in the gut is due to the fact that they have a very fast digestive process. They move food along much faster and they're able to tolerate much more. So that's kind of my theory on it, is that those receptors and that system has to be very, it has to perform very well in that environment when they're passing things through very quickly. But it also, you know, at the same time, if they're feeding low quality diets and stuff, can be affected much more quickly as well.
Yeah, but the digestion, having those receptors there, since the gut has a lot to do with balancing your nervous system, maybe it has to do with that as well.
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, with all of us, people, dogs, cats, our gut is the root of our health. And it's so funny. I talk a lot about, you know, the gut-brain axis and why we address the gut with a lot of our products, simply because if we can address gut issues and inflammatory responses in the gut, a lot of times that balances mood.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. So your gut will influence your nervous system, which then influences your immune system and everything else. And then in turn, your nervous system will affect your gut. So very important to support all those systems.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So it's really nice to know that it's very hard to overdose, or basically sounds at this time, it's impossible to overdose on CBD. Obviously, if you're using a product that's designed for cats, that's, I think, a higher confidence level you could have with that. Some human products might have additives that may not be safe for cats. So just keep that in mind too, that if there's other essential oils or other flavor additives, do be careful with making sure that what you're giving to your cat is designed for cats.
You know, Dr. Barrett, you bring up an amazing point. So many human products have sweeteners and things like xylitol, which are toxic to animals.
And not to mention contaminants also.
Yes. And we can get it. Yeah. We can get into like how these products are processed, which is kind of not something to just scare people away from. But the reality is, you know, even just incorporating essential oils, it's a lot to put on a product when you add these essential oils, even because they're plant extracts. So what, you know, like I started with, when we formulate a product for a cat, specifically an oil, which is where people mostly go when it comes to cats, keeping it as simple as possible, just in coconut oil or MCT oil, was really where we came out. Because if we start adding, or, you know, pixie dusting, as I call it, with essential oils, these are really complex plant extracts. And a lot of times essential oils are very, very concentrated. So if I'm putting something into a cat's body, it's really complicated on, you know, what is actually helping and how are they going to respond? Because the biggest thing I talk about with any plant extract or botanical, as I call them, is every person and every cat and dog is different. They are individuals, and we want to know exactly what's going in them. And that's why we third-party lab test things. So when you're talking about contaminants, we want to know exactly what's going in with them. And when we start adding more and more things into it, it really becomes hard and more of a moving target of like, what is actually working? What actually made them kind of have an adverse event? So we want to keep it as simple and as clean as possible. Back to the contaminants thing, you really have to understand that companies should be testing on a regular basis. You know, most companies now, including us, are putting QR codes so you can scan them and go right to their lab tests. And there should be, you know, the contaminant testing done pretty regularly, or at least up to date within a year, because sometimes that's, you know, a forgotten part of it. And I'm not asking pet parents to understand lab tests, but just to know that that company is transparent and willing to share that, I think is a very important point to make.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, I have a lot of folks who will come in with their pet already on some CBD oil, which I think is a great thought process to add that on as a supplement for some of those issues that we talked about. But I'd say 90% of the time when they show me the product they're using, there's no certificate of analysis. There's no real legitimacy that I can find to it. And a lot of times it's ones that they got at like a trade show or a smoke shop or a gas station or something. And a lot of those products are lower quality, and they are actually made with byproducts from the human hemp industry. And they can contain things like molds and heavy metals and other contaminants that would obviously cause a lot more harm than good.
Yes. And just for, you know, just for referencing like Earth Buddy, we're in Colorado, and because we are vertically integrated, we grow and manufacture, we're very regulated here in Colorado. So I'll give you kind of two examples. Because we grow and manufacture here, we are required by the Department of Health to test a certain way. At this current time, right now in 2024, which is weird to say, there is no regulation on pet products. None. There's no requirement for us to test any way possible. Now, if we, on the human side, which we do make human products, there is requirements for testing, and we follow those guidelines for the human requirements. But testing for microbials and potency at minimum is the starting point. But when you grow, you actually have to test for things like pesticides, heavy metals, because hemp is a bioaccumulator, meaning it sucks up impurities from the dirt. And, you know, furthermore, like mycotoxins, like you're saying, mold, those kind of things. So we are required to test for all of that, being a vertically integrated company. If I'm just the other example I wanted to give is like, if I'm just Joe Schmo and I want to create a product and I live in, you know, let's say Virginia, if they source it from Colorado, there's no requirement for them to test that product whatsoever. And they can test however they feel. And there's no lab requirements. That's the other kind of dirty little secret. But we have really good cannabis testing labs and natural product testing labs. And then we've taken it a step further where we actually have an in-house lab that we kind of bounce things back and forth with the third-party labs that we work with. So it's a really nice way to confirm that when people buy something, they know what they're getting. And this is something that's kind of branched off into products that I take now. It's like, how many of the products that are in my vitamin cabinet, you know, actually have what they say is in it? And it's nice that, you know, at least the pet side has really kind of forced us to look at our own products.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so circling back to the species differences, are there any specific conditions where CBD is more effective for dogs versus cats and vice versa?
You know, the funny thing is the tolerability was kind of an issue that I saw in the latest studies. The other one was that there is some really cool studies coming around with seizures. And you know, I don't, obviously, you know, most products are geared more towards dogs, but we don't think about cats having seizures as well. And it's hard to figure out what is the root cause of seizures a lot of times. And it's always a moving target depending on the type of seizures and these neurological issues. What we've looked at through the research is that there's some real good evidence to show that this can help a lot of these neurological responses in the body, in cats specifically. Again, I think it goes back to that there's this abundance of receptors in the gut, and that when we're engaging that system or activating that system, we're able to modulate these huge shifts of up and down and mood swings. And as we know, cats are going to be a little bit more sensitive to things sometimes. And especially when it comes to diet and changing things, I think we can really engage that system in a healthy, naturally safe way, as opposed to just jumping right into more of the traditional interventions of drugs and, you know, things like that. So from a gut motility, gut inflammation standpoint, I think starting there with cats is such a good benefit. And then, you know, we can get into even further with different molecules that the plant produces beyond just CBD.
Yeah. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah. So one in particular that I really have been digging into lately is specifically CBG. CBG is produced in all cannabis plants. And then when the plant flowers or buds, they all convert into these other molecules, whether you're growing it for THC or CBD, et cetera. So CBG has now been a topic for specifically irritable bowel issues. So cats, I see this a lot in cats, and I'm sure you do in your practice as well. And again, it's like there's a lot of different things we can throw at it. But ultimately, I think if we know that there's an abundance of these receptors in there, I think it would be a great starting point. The other thing I find with CBG is that it is much less sedative. And so sometimes people that come to a CBD product, they get a heavy sedation. And for cats, they don't need a huge dose because they're just smaller physically. I like CBG as a good starting point because it's going to be a little bit less sedative. And then there's also some good research on how it relaxes the musculoskeletal system. So relaxing that overall musculoskeletal system is a little bit different than relaxing their neurological mood balancing chemicals.
Yeah, I wonder how it would affect the smooth muscle of the gut.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, and if they're constantly getting upset or finicky with stuff, or you know, I talk to a lot of cat owners where you know they'll have a cat eating something regularly, and then all of a sudden they'll just stop. And I think that's because their system is over and over just becoming irritated with it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know what? They're really good at associating food with how they feel.
Yeah. You could imagine too, if you're a cat with IBD or something, and every day when you eat, your stomach gets upset, you know, that's going to cause stress. And even if the CBD only helps with the stress factor, it might help to break the cycle of some of the mood effects that it can have.
Definitely. And I think when we bring up all these different molecules like CBG or CBDA or CBD, we don't sit there and say like, this one is the best for this. We really try to take this individual approach and offer different options for pet owners to go, hey, you can start here. We can, you know, we can give you a smaller dose option. We can give you a different form or formulation, meaning whether it's a powder or an oil, and giving them different options and saying, hey, start here, and specifically start really low to not have these irritated or like traumatic experiences for the pet owner, I think is a much better attitude towards any supplement than rather saying, hey, give this to them, it's going to fix all their problems. Mm-hmm.
So what are the forms that, like you said, there's liquid and powder for administering it?
Yeah, so primarily we lean towards the oil forms for cats. That's kind of my preference for any cat owner to start with, just because mixing in food is really important. So with all the studies that I've referenced, and I'm happy to share them with you after this, most of them have shown that there is a huge benefit to giving this to them in a fed state or with food. And they've shown, plasma levels and bioavailability levels almost tenfold in cats that are fed versus putting in their mouth. And let's be honest, putting a dropper near a cat's mouth with a plant extract, like, good luck. I've been around enough cats my whole life. Yeah. Putting liquids that, especially plant extracts, in their mouth is you're asking for them to foam, and you're asking them for, you know, to never go near you next time you have that bottle. So, you know, making it an enjoyable experience, even in something like tuna juice or, you know, something yummy that is a special treat, even, I think is a really good way to administer it.
Yeah. I love those churro treats for giving medications.
Yes. So yeah, like the little,
similar to tuna,
I call them Go-Gurt.
Yeah.
The Go-Gurt for cats. Yes. Anything stinky that is going to be a little bit palatable is the best way. Cause then, one, you can make it a treat, and two, they're not associating it with this traumatic experience, because they're going to read our stress level and giving it to them. So you're not wasting a whole meal on them by, just putting it right on top of the food.
Yeah, you might be able to get a little bit of CBD in their mouth, like if you put it on your finger and rub it on their gums. But if they're not feeling that, you might get your finger a bit. So watch out.
Yes, or they hide in places that you can't reach them.
Yeah, they're too smart like that.
Yeah, so that's kind of step one, is making the experience enjoyable. And I address that with every pet, is like, if you can find a really easy way to get it in their body, and maybe it's something, you know, from your fridge that you normally wouldn't give them, but it's really palatable, it's a piece of meat or something that was really yummy, that they can, you can just start with a drop even. I'd rather them start doing that for a week, even maybe even 10 days, because eventually that cat, whether it's an irritable bowel issue or a high stress issue, or they're going on travel, if you can do that prior to what you're trying to address in a really low dose, they're going to start associating that with feeling better. And even if you up the dosage a little bit, I don't think it's going to be as big of a problem as putting a bunch on there and hoping for the best.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So you can just add it to their food then.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's great. I'm sure most people could manage to sneak a little bit in and see how it goes.
Yeah. And you asked like, what are the other forms? We also, again, cause we were talking about the gut, we also incorporate it into our colostrum product, which is a powder. It's really nice because it's stinky, and it's got the best way I explain it, it's got a very funky cheese vibe. And sometimes colostrum, which is the first milk from cows, is really potent and stinky. And I'd say funky cheese or Parmesan cheese is kind of the smell that I take away from it. that usually can mask some of that. And also we're balancing good and bad bacteria with colostrum. So it's kind of a double whammy with that product as well.
Cool. Can you tell us about some of your other products for cats?
Yeah. So colostrum is a big one. I think when we launched that product, we had cats in mind initially. But in general, I think addressing the gut, a lot of times when it comes to the main reason people are coming to our products is stress, is if we can address the gut, you know, a lot of these neurotransmitter chemicals that are made in the gut. So serotonin, being our mood balancing chemical, is made in the gut primarily. So if we're addressing kind of gut inflammation or upset tummies, I think we can kind of knock two birds with one stone by, one, balancing good and bad bacteria, because you don't want too much of either, really. And two, you know, settling their tummy when they're constantly upset, or whether they're having motility issues, meaning moving it along, or it's coming out too fast. We can really balance that out, and then also address kind of the inflammatory response that they have in their guts to, you know, different things that they might have in the food that are, you know, are the pet parent can't pinpoint when you're feeding a kibble or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And then you guys have mushroom products as well, right?
Yes. And, you know, we are not, again, we are not like saying that you got to force powder down your cat's mouth. We do have powder forms, and we incorporate, you know, mushrooms and CBD in a capsule form that is in powder. We've had phenomenal feedback on older cats with functional mushrooms. Specifically, we use a blend of five different mushrooms that have been really well researched for a bunch of different age-related issues. But specifically, we just recently launched just a mushroom tincture, and it's a glycerin base, which is alcohol-free, so then we don't have to worry about the palatability. And then we also added elderberry, which is sweet. And sometimes cats are going to prefer something a little bit sweeter. So adding the elderberry, which is also a great antioxidant, full of good things in there, we really can engage their histamine response, number one. So dealing with allergies, seasonal or environmental. And, you know, with the gut, again, I always kind of go back to the gut. Mushrooms act as a natural prebiotic for the gut. So helping them kind of encourage to build their natural immunity and good bacteria.
Yeah, definitely. I think that most older cats could benefit from being on both mushrooms and CBD.
Yeah. And the reality is they live longer. So their age-related stuff is going to be more prevalent. You know, on the cannabinoid side, we actually came up with a product with CBN, which is, again, another lesser known molecule that the cannabis plant does not produce naturally. It's actually converted from another molecule. And what we created that product was for cats with kind of sundowners. So we joke all the time, we call it, you know, the ninja cat, where that, you know, likes to hunt in the middle of the night. And their perception of night and day starts to, you know, get a little bit confused in those older cats. And we call it sleep support because it's just a little bit more sedative to help them get more restful sleep. So they're up during the day and they're not running around your house, bouncing off walls and trying to hunt things when you're sleeping. And then at the same time, with the mushrooms, I think, you know, there's a lot of good research on just age-related cognitive issues. So, you know, cats living longer, they're going to age quite a bit in those later years. We want to keep their brain healthy as we possibly can. And incorporating something like functional mushrooms is a great tool, I think.
Yeah. And the antioxidant effects of mushrooms too is good to reduce that oxidative stress that's happening with age.
100%. I mean, so we use five species of mushrooms in our products, and, you know, just one or two I'll call out. Reishi mushroom alone, they've researched, there's over 800 compounds in just that mushroom. So that's more than most cannabis plants. So right there, it's like there's an abundance of good antioxidants, molecules, and it's, you know, vitamins, minerals. There's pretty much the whole gamut in these mushroom species. Another one that is a little bit lesser known in our mushrooms is agaricon. And agaricon is really interesting, specifically, you know, in light of all the respiratory issues that I've heard with cats and also in dogs too. But agaricon was used by the ancient Greeks as a tonic for any kind of respiratory related issues. And they drank it in teas and tonics and stuff. But the really cool stuff is that agaricon is being studied for its benefits, or I guess treatment of herpes simplex virus, which they have some pretty good papers that show that it outperforms things like L-lysine and some of the traditional pharmaceuticals, which is really cool evidence to kind of say, hey, here's a natural place to start.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you guys have that mushroom in your line of products?
Yes, absolutely. Agaricon is a really interesting mushroom. It's one of the lesser, less popular ones, because typically, you know, we use agaricon, cordyceps, reishi, turkey tail, lion's mane. So that's kind of our go-to five blend. So the four that I mentioned outside of agaricon are pretty well known. But when we looked at pet-related issues and specifically cats, and we saw that research, it's like, okay, well, a lot of cat owners are experiencing this and they're looking for, you know, natural ways to handle it. And we've had really good feedback with a lot of cat owners. Now, granted, we understood when we first started it, when we were doing it in powder, we're like, we know this isn't easy to get in their body. If you can, like we said, you know, mix it in something yummy. But then with the launch of our tincture, it's really exciting because it's a much more palatable option that's sweeter. And, you know, it's all human grade. So it's really clean ingredients, nothing you wouldn't recognize, but also something really simple you can mix in the food daily. And you know, from a dosage standpoint on mushrooms, it's very similar to cannabis in that we really want you to just start small. And if you can keep it in daily, it's going to be a much better experience and just overall benefit than trying to do a ton of it to try to fix a problem that day.
Yeah, definitely. Try to manage problems before they turn into big problems. Okay, great. So what's your number one tip that you would recommend for some cat owners to go away with today and implement right now?
Yeah, because we're a supplement company and I started this company for a pet that was very old and very picky. And I've had pets since that, you know, I've dealt with. As our pets age, I think it's important to just realize, like, when you're going to start incorporating natural supplements, make the experience enjoyable. I think you don't have to fix the problem in one day. And just from an expectation standpoint, when you're starting a new supplement, don't throw the kitchen sink at them. Start with one thing, see how they do for, you know, a couple weeks. And you know, I think having a journal or at least taking note daily of how that animal is responding is so important. So I think for starters, with any natural supplement, start low, go slow, and do one thing at a time, as opposed to kind of throwing the kitchen sink. As pet owners, I am one of them. We sometimes panic when our pet doesn't feel well, and we want to throw every natural thing first before we go to the vet or talk to you. Rather than doing that, I would say start with something simple, you know, that you have very simple ingredients in, and then go slow, and you can gradually increase the dosage. And working with holistic vets like yourself, I think, is the best kind of advice I can give, as opposed to, you know, try everything and, you know, not know what's what.
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, if you're getting confused from all the Facebook comments that you're reading, just go on to ahvma.org and find yourself a holistic vet in your area, because we are out there. Sometimes we're harder to find, but there's a lot of vets out there that are wanting to help folks who are trying to find solutions for their pets.
For sure. Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah. Sometimes I think that gets forgotten of, like, where do we find one? So that is a good resource for people to be aware of too.
I would say, Dr. Barrett, I'm sorry to interrupt, but okay. I would just, like, to that point, I think another good tip, and I'm sorry, I'm doubling up on my tips. I think having a team of having someone, a holistic vet like yourself, maybe your local vet that is your, you know, primary clinician, and maybe even some body work, you know, if you have acupuncture or massage, and even a vet that can help you with kind of dosing cannabis, you know. So I've learned over the years with my own pets and just talking to pet parents, it's okay to have a couple different resources for this stuff, and being clear and bringing them all together and kind of keeping everybody on the same page is really healthy, as opposed to kind of being on islands and just having all your information from one thing.
Yeah, definitely. And if you have a good team, you know, everyone wants to help and support. So don't be afraid, like he said, to reach out and find those professionals who can help you.
Yep.
So Sean, where can our audience find you and get more information? Because this has been so helpful and valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. So everything they can find us on is earthbuddypet.com. Or we have really good YouTube videos of how to dose cats too, at Earth Buddy Pet on YouTube and all social media. And earthbuddypet.com, we're offering a special discount code, Pet Summits CBD 2024, that we can probably share after this. But that'll get anybody who is participating in this 20% off all of our products. And, you know, we want people to try it and we want people to give us feedback. So it's always good to have cat owners, you know, tell us how it's going.
Definitely. Thanks for that generous offer. And thank you again for your time. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, and thank you for everything you do.
You're welcome. So yeah, for listeners, just don't forget to follow, subscribe, and leave reviews if you found this episode interesting, and this helps us to reach more pet owners who might also benefit from this information. So until next time, thanks for listening, and thank you again, Sean, for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Thank you.